Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. After 7 years of sexual abuse, a man from Arizona has been arrested for sexual assaulting his daughter. Back in 2010, the man told his bishop and family about the encounter, and nothing was done. Read more about the arrest, YumaDailyNews.com. Yuma Test Center at Yuma Proving Ground has been supporting the testing of a soft recoil on a weapon system mounted on a Humvee. The weapon system is referred to as Hawkeye. Learn more about Hawkeye on the website. WNBA star Brittany Griner has been convicted by a judge in Russia for drug possession and smuggling. Griner is sentenced to 9 years in prison. Read more about the case, YumaDailyNews.com. The sellout crowd came to cheer on Juan Soto in his first game with the Padres. Soto has said he's going to be bringing good vibes to the Padres. The Padres are still second in the NL West. Today's game is at 7:10 against the Dodgers. Get the latest on the website and listen to the games live on our talk station, AM 560 KBLU. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
We had some heavy rain in parts of Arizona yesterday, but now the drier air has moved in, putting a stop to any wet weather today and tomorrow. Monsoon moisture back in the forecast with some wet weather by Sunday. Outdoor plans today, you're fine. Just be ready for a little more heat. 106 the high this afternoon. And Saturday, temperatures continue to heat up, 108 the high. Some thunderstorms Sunday, scattered thunderstorms, and that helps to cool us back down, 103. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. George Davis, good morning, Yuma. Another great day in Yuma. Clouds not so much, but the temperature's halfway good, right?
It was great yesterday. You know, it was below 100 at noontime, and I was like, whoa, man, what's happening to August? Yeah, that's weird.
A little humidity spike, but I like it.
It was great. It felt great outside.
Down and stuff,
so some of you guys might maybe heard, but they came out with the job numbers this morning.
Yeah.
And the market is down on that number. And that's the funny thing about the markets or economics or, you know, these business numbers is sometimes you think it's a good number. It should, you know, be positive for the market, and it's the opposite. Sometimes it's a bad number, but then the market goes up.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it, you know, usually that was a backstory on, you know, what's happening. Now, the backstory on they came out with, you know, more jobs than they – good job numbers, but the reason why the market is down, and I'm going to put George on the spot here, why is the market down with good job numbers?
Market's down with good job numbers because it was looking for bad job numbers, because good job numbers means that the Fed might be back on hawkish look and raising rates 75 bips instead of 50.
Yep, you nailed it. So basically, if the economy looks strong, that's more reason for the Fed to continue on. And they're going to meet again in September. The talk is 50 basis points, but you don't know until they do it. But that doesn't mean they can't continue on after that. In a stronger economy, that would be the case. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, Tom, if you're looking at the numbers, and yeah, the job numbers are good, and so is wages. Wages have been going up. But there's a lot of other things that are starting to slow. So that's more of a lagging indicator, because it's going to take a little bit for people, businesses, just say, oh, wait a minute, I don't need to hire as much, or I might be letting people go. It's not the first thing that happens. It starts to slow down, the economy slows down, then the wages and the unemployment rates will start to go up.
Just in the last 2 weeks with stuff that I've read, I mean, Microsoft's laying off people, Amazon,
Walmart.
Oracle, Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a handful. And the 5,000, 10,000. So that's an after effect of a slow economy. I mean,
right.
it's a lagger. So we're not out of the woods yet. I mean, I know July was a good bounce in the market. In July, the S&P went up 9%, which was a really good month. We're still kind of down on the numbers. As of August 1st, the Dow's down 8.6, S&P's down 12, NASDAQ 100's down 20. The international markets are down about 15%. So interesting to see where this thing goes. Some people call it the fake bounce, you know. I mean, a lot of times when markets drop, there's a movement back up that gets people excited, like
yeah.
It could be over with, and then it goes down again. I was listening to the news this morning, and they had a farmer on there. She was a gal, and she raised chickens, and she was explaining the difference in food costs from this time around to last year. I mean, like, you know, the bag of grain was like $4 went to like, you know, $18, and hay went from like, you know, $4 to $12. And she basically said, if you take that metric on the food and just apply it to the chicken, she goes, this would be like a $30 chicken, which, you know, which would go to meat and other, you know,
yeah,
I mean, feeds feed. Right. I mean, so, So I don't know. I mean, she got my attention because I mean, that means prices of meat not over with.
We're not done. And that's, when you say a bounce or something, we don't know what the future is. I don't see anything in place to reduce inflation or to slow it down. I don't know what they've done.
Didn't we just have a good inflation bill just looked
what
at?
What called inflation bill? That's yeah. I think it's gasoline on a fire bill is what it's called.
No, I know you talked about it early this morning, but I mean I didn't pay too much attention to it yet.
I didn't either. I didn't pay attention at all. It was Edward that called me this morning. That explained to me about cinema.
But what you told me is bad news. I mean, I don't know if you want to retell the listeners.
Well, basically, I mean, I read enough of the highlights to know there was a 15% corporate tax in there. And I didn't really understand. I thought, well, that's awfully low because normally you're talking 20s, 30%, 15%. I didn't think about it. But when we think of a corporate tax, we think on profits. That's what we think. And I thought, 15%, well, that sounds low. Or I think it's higher than that now.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Well, that was an additional tax on top of the profit tax, and that tax would be based on sales, revenue.
Not profits,
on revenue. Sales. When if your business does $100,000 in a month, you would pay a $15,000 check to the government.
That's
well, and then they're saying if businesses, and this is the Biden, administration, if businesses pass that on to the consumer, that's not what it's meant for. That's greedy. They should just pay it.
Yeah.
Well, with what? What are we going to pay that?
It's all going to get passed on, and that means indirectly prices will go up 15% more.
And I asked the question on air. I said, okay, if you're a business, how do you handle it? What do? Do you have that kind of cash left over that you just didn't tell anybody about? Or how are you going to collect it? Are you going to raise prices? And a lot of people said they would add it as a line item on the bill.
And say, go talk to
Now, the White House is not going to like that.
Yeah.
They don't want that. They want it to be hidden.
Hidden, yeah.
They want it to be hidden. They want it not to be added like a sales tax.
Yeah. It's almost like a federal sales tax.
It's what it works what like.
Yeah.
It works like that as it's written right now.
So it's on sales. If I sold $100,000 worth of widgets, goods, but I only made $10,000 in profit.
You have to pay $15,000 up front.
Oh, wonderful.
And then money at the, you know, on your normal profit.
Okay.
Say, you know.
I can't believe that.
Nothing to do with growth.
I mean, I listen to the news and read stuff and whatever. Can't believe people aren't pounding their chest more about that.
Exactly.
Even the Republicans, I've heard their blip on it, but that never came out. I mean,
they called it the corporate tax, but
they didn't explain what it was.
I'm like you. I read something about it, like a 15%. I didn't know what it was, but I blew it off.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was going to be that.
Well, up front, it sounds, that's not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's higher than that now, so it looks like they're lowering it.
Now, the big question is, do you know when that, if it passes, will that kick in like January 1st? Or when?
I have no idea.
Because that would have a huge
effect. And they're not done writing it, obviously. Cinema's making them change it somehow. She says, well, 5% I can live with. 5% is still huge. 5% on the entire sales of the nation? How much money is that?
Yeah.
That's just nuts. I mean, we can afford to get a lot more illegals in and pay them money if we did that, you know.
I mean, they're talking about trying to relocate business to the United States from China and other countries.
Oh, that ain't gonna happen.
And that's just another reason not to. So.
Yeah, it would be more leaving, really. I mean, manufacturing? Why would you manufacture in the United States if you had that?
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
Hey, plus, the other thing I want to bring up, which people might be aware of is that the yield curve has inverted again for about 18 days. And in the last 8 week sessions, when there's been an inverted yield curve for the 2 year treasury, basically it means that we're in a recession. Technically, we are in a recession, two negative quarters of GDP, but that confirms.
Are you allowed to say that? I don't think the White House agrees with you. The White House changed the terminology.
But the inverted yield curve confirms or reestablishes the fact that we're in a recession. So then the million-dollar question is, you know, how bad a recession will this be? There's been recessions that lasted 5 months, dropped 15%, and I'm talking about the S&P 500. We clearly went beyond that. And middle of June was the low point. S&P dropped about 21%. Now the S&P's up or down about 13. So July was a good comeback. But the bigger question is, where is this going to go going forward?
But normally in a recession, the legislature looks at it and say, okay, we need to do something to help.
I've not
seen any help. What I'm seeing is the opposite.
Well, that inflation bill that you just said is putting gas on the fire.
It's
not helping it.
Yeah. So maybe it lasts for the rest of our lives. I don't know. But typically, half a year to a year and a half or something on a recession?
Well, so here's the thing. If you look at the recessions that were caused by inflation, which is, you know, taking money out of people's pockets, late 69, mid-70s, and early 80s were the three. And one was the market dropped for 19 months, 20 months, and 21 months. Okay. So on average, about 20 months.
Yeah.
So when you have a recession and inflation, it lasts a lot longer. So we're on month 8. Let's just say on average is 20. That's what the other ones were. So we're on month 8. So, yeah, we got some more time to see where this thing unfolds at. I don't think it's over with.
I'd like to see something that we're doing positively to rectify it. And I don't know that I've seen anybody do anything.
Yeah, and, I guess besides the Feds trying to raise rates. I mean,
that's kind of the opposite. That's not helping. And, you know, more restrictions on businesses through EPA or whatever. It's just causing more and more problems with the system instead of helping.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Feds raising rates is going to tamper the economy. And once the economy gets tampered, then inflation, you know, goes down. So it's kind of weird. It's like you got to kill the chicken before they lay the egg or vice versa. We'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Group Wealth Management. They manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1800899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, Yuma Investment Group, George Davis. We're here just talking about things.
I had a stat here for you, Tom.
Okay.
This is a survey from the Census Bureau found that 40% of people are finding it somewhat difficult or very difficult to cover their typical household expenses.
40%?
Yep. And that's up 27% from this time last year. So the typical household is now spending $493 more a month to buy the same amount of goods and services.
So what
basically $500 more a month.
So what happens with households is when there's increases in food and gas and other increases, people don't change their habits too much or too quickly. So they usually will continue to spend, have the lifestyle they have, and then over time their credit card goes up. And about 6 months into this, somebody wake up and realize, dang, my credit card is a lot higher than it should be. And that's what's actually happening right now. They came out with a number on the credit card debt that people have now compared to 6 months ago.
Yeah, it's up.
And it's up quite a bit.
Yeah.
So then at some point, then they got to make hard decisions on, you know, what are they going to do to curb the lifestyle so they can not keep going in debt. So we're at a point right now where I think people are starting to really feel the pain and not just throw it on a credit card or don't worry about it.
Well, I think everybody's realizing that you can't keep running the credit cards up. At some point, you got to stop it and pay it off. And that's going to cause a lot of adjustments in budgets.
Yeah, and it's going to come. Usually it happens, you know, pretty quick in the sense once people realize, you know, I got $1,000 max on my credit card and it's at $800.
Yeah,
you know,
I got to do something.
They're going to have to curb. I think we're not out of this thing, is my opinion. I think.
I'm not seeing any indicators that would say
so
we're
So you
out
think,
of it.
According to your definition of recession, two negative GDPs in a row that we're in one now?
That's what I learned when I was an econ major in college. I mean,
that's his definition or the definition?
That's what? The definition.
Okay.
The economic definition.
People add on, I mean, like your checker guy added two other variables, which maybe he knows more. But in general, that's the that's a basic definition that they taught us in economics and college.
Well, it was the White House that added
the jobs or whatever.
Well, they have to approve it that it's a recession. I can give you the language on that.
Yeah, but the GDP for quarter two was -0.9, right?
Yeah.
But they have to revise it. So there's all these different things they do to revise it. What if it revises to be positive?
They don't have to revise it.
There's a possibility it could be revised.
They can let their numbers stay. But
okay.
Let me tell you what happened the first quarter. They came out at a positive.
And it was revised down.
Positive 0.9. And then it was revised down to like a -1.4.
Right.
So I wouldn't surprise if there is a revision, it's going to be more negative, in my opinion.
I don't know how it couldn't be.
That some economist guy thought it would be revised positive up
to a half.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But you know,
everything's possible, man. I don't know anymore. You know, it's just nothing's stable. We're changing the names of everything, even.
Yeah, and then it's hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he talked about, you know, real consumption, business investment is still pretty strong. Home building, of course, is down. But the M2 money supply, you know, because you always say inflation is too much money chasing too few goods, then that money supply is staying level now instead of back in the day of the COVID when they were printing money, increasing that money supply.
Yeah, but level, so, you know, if you pump $4 trillion in the economy and it stays level, that's probably not good. They need to take money out of the system.
Yeah, they
get
do.
Get inflation down. So,
yeah, I was talking to one of my real estate friends yesterday, and this is something I didn't think about, but the government was helping people with their mortgages, right? During COVID.
Not paying, yeah, 6 months
them.
Or whatever.
Yeah, 6 months. I think it extended even longer.
Yeah.
But now it's time to come time to pay it, and the interest didn't stop accruing. So these people are getting the bills when it's time to now pay their mortgage again, and it's all of a sudden it's, wow. Well, all that interest accrued, and I have to pay that. So that's pretty hard right now, I guess.
Oh, I thought they were just going to tack it on the end and make them pay so many more months.
No.
But you're
no,
saying it affected their monthly mortgage.
Yeah, it affected their monthly mortgage.
Went up. So another thing that sucks money out of people's pockets.
Yeah. So.
No.
But, I mean, it's nice to get your mortgage paid or have it deferred, but you don't really think about those things. Oh, now it's time to pay it.
Did they give you any numbers, like it's an extra $50 or something?
No, it didn't give me any numbers, but it didn't sound like it was anything that was tacked on way later.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, now the mortgage rates went down below 5%. I think they got up to 5.5%. So that dampers lending, you know. People can't buy as big of houses, or they might not even qualify. Yep. And I know the title company lady said, locally told me that for July they were down like 70%, you know, from the month before. So, yeah, things are happening.
Yeah.
So what you got to really do is figure out your budget, figure out, you know, necessity items that you need, and then figure out non-necessity items and either try to trim some of those back if you need to, or, you know, get some discipline and get yourself under control so you don't wake up 6 months from now with more debt, more credit card debt.
Mm-hmm. I've got 8 cash management tips for high inflation and market corrections if you want to go through it.
One of them is to get a loan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I read that. I didn't read that one, but I.
Yeah.
So they said, you know, one of the big things of battle inflation is, and they do it in the South America when they're, inflation goes, you know, up 100% or some crazy number. Yeah,
borrow money.
Is they go out and borrow money, because basically you're getting cheap money today, which will be more expensive later. But that's one of them. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to borrow money, you better have some financial assets and, you know, a statement that shows you can pay it back to the bank. So it's not easy. But
yeah. Well, they're saying as far as like alternative sources of income, just like you're saying, Tom, is a home equity line of credit. While interest rates are still not too high yet and home prices are high, then they're saying that you can get a loan to value up to 90%, and the cash can come in handy down the road when recession hits and the banks no longer want to lend.
Kind of like reserve money?
Yeah, like a reserve. So open the HELOC now.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. And then you mentioned looking at your cash flow, which, of course, where, you know, what income's guaranteed and which ones are secure and which ones are not.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that. Reviewing good debt and bad debt. That was another one. You talked about credit cards. And, of course, when interest rates go up, credit cards are charging a high rate, and that even goes up higher.
Yeah.
So looking at that, too.
I don't know if they, you know, they still have it, but, you know, there used to be where you can jump around to different credit card companies and get, you know, there were 0%
interest free type stuff. Yeah, I don't know.
Now they might be, you know, 2.99 or something. But then after 6 months or a year or whatever, then it reverts up. They're hoping you stay around. And
I don't receive those in the mail recently. You know, you used to get those occasionally, you know, like 0% interest. Yeah. I haven't seen one.
I think
in a while.
I saw like a 2.991.
Is that right? 2.99.
Which, but sometimes they revert up, you know, within 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. So got to watch out. The food, you know, just over in Ukraine and Russia, you know, the food supply will have an effect, and I don't think we've really seen that either. I mean,
they just barely got the first ship that came out of there, right, with the grain.
Yeah, it was the first one just recently, but we don't really import from them, but the rest of the world does. So it's going to put a demand on us, because we do export a lot of food. But
yeah, but if a country wants to sell grain and pay more than the typical U.S. consumer,
I'd sell it.
They're going to sell it.
Yeah, I'd sell it. Yeah, if I'm a farmer.
So it's going to cause prices over here to go
up. Say bye-bye, grain. Go to Europe. Yeah, I know you're hungry over here.
Yeah. You know, I got a stat. You know, the big thing in the news now is that trying to pass a bill to give incentives for semiconductor companies to produce back in the United States. They kind of think there's a risk level there by a lot of them being produced overseas. Taiwan.
Like Taiwan, yeah.
But that's
there's 70% of the semiconductors are in Taiwan.
Yeah, so actually,
China takes that over, then there are no semiconductors outside their area, I don't think.
I mean, so I got a stat here. It says 30 years ago, 37% of the semiconductors were made in the world were manufactured in the United States.
Yeah.
Today it's 12%, basically.
Oh, geez.
So it almost got cut down by two-thirds.
70% to 12?
Yeah.
Said 37% of the manufacturers were in the United States. 37. Now it's 12.
Oh, now it's
from
12.
37. 37.
I thought you said 7.
But to
yeah.
make those foundries takes years to build them, and it's so complex, apparently. Staffing them with people that understand the systems is not an easy deal.
Well, they, you know, that building one in Phoenix, AMD is.
Yeah, but it's going to take a couple years.
Taiwan Semiconductor is. And they said they won't be ready till like 2025, 26.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I think it takes, it's like $3 billion to build out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a big investment. Takes forever to build them. I don't know why. I don't know what goes in them, but
yeah.
It does. It takes years. And then to staff them, it's highly technical. So you just can't take guys fresh out of high school.
Yeah. You know what's pretty, I don't know if it's interesting, but I follow. So, you know, semiconductors have been a hot item, especially with gaming. You know, a lot of game components use them.
AI.
The cars, you know, had lack of chips. That's
where
the
vacuum cleaners, everything
you,
now.
You know, the stock that's pretty much has done nothing and is at a 52-week low is Intel. And I remember when I got out of college in the glory days, you know, Intel was number uno, and they were the chip company. And, you know, everything you saw the little emblem.
They didn't keep innovating like Tesla. Tesla, you know, is one that kind of gets that innovation stuff. Like every year their cars are changed. Inside, not outside. They look the same, but
yeah.
Rather than change the looks, they're changing it all the time.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting, but they have a great product that's number one. They say, okay, we can be better. We can be better.
Yeah.
Guys like Intel, they stopped.
Yeah.
Mm. They got run over. You got to take a break.
Hey, this is Money Talk. Be right back, 5, 6 a.m.
They manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. George Davis here and Tom Rush. We got Russ here manning the board for us.
Yeah.
You had did you get that seminar info you wanted to talk about mid-show here?
Yeah.
Announcement, Tom?
Yeah. So basically, we're doing a seminar in August 24th. And we're actually having a speaker come down. This is Yuma Investment Group. Speaker come down from Phoenix. And her job is to audit 401k plans. Sounds like a fun job.
No.
So she's going to be giving actually a four-hour learning class on what she looks for when things get audited. So we're actually going to have this out at the college next to the Schoening Center. And we want people, that business owners that have 401ks, or they have an assistant that handles the 401ks and they don't quite understand it. I mean, they do the payroll, they send in the check, but they don't understand it from like A to Z. We're looking for people like that to show up. And you can call our office and get on to go to this. It's August 24th. It's from noon to 4 p.m. And our phone number is 329-1700. And it should go into the nuts and bolts of, you know, how can you have a, you know, what do you, because if your retirement plan isn't done right, ultimately, it could all come crashing back down and become taxable money. So she's gonna go through what you should be doing to keep a good plan, and maybe how to make it easier and run smoother. And then you could ask questions, because that's what she does. So, anyways, 329-1700. Call our office, and we have spots open. It's about a four-hour session. I recommend it to either business owners that want to understand how 401k works, because a lot of them don't, or the person in charge in the office who actually does most of the heavy lifting on the 401k, or if you have a CFO or someone who kind of does the books. Those are the three candidates I think would get a lot out of this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, that should be very informative. I think business owners don't understand the fiduciary responsibility that comes with the 401k, because you've got, you know, the advisor, you got the investment, the 401k platform or firm. But you've also got, you know, a responsibility to your employees and keeping that on track, like you said, Tom.
I mean, the biggest thing that we see, because we handle quite a bit 401ks, is everyone's trying to fix problems and not be proactive on not having problems.
Be reactive.
It's always, you know, this happened, let's fix it. So I think this four-hour educational talk will let you get in perspective on how to stay ahead of the curve and not be fixing things the whole time. And that should actually help out emotionally a lot with the staff, because I know a lot of the times when there is a problem, the business owners usually dump it on someone else and say, hey, we got to fix this.
Right.
And then, you know, our back office helps them. But, yep, so if you can show up, call the office and we'll get you down. 329-1700.
And any business owners out there that are thinking about a 401k for their business or already have one, they can call our office and set up an appointment to get us to take a look at their 401k currently and do an analysis on it to see what their fees are, if they're in compliance. And then we don't charge anything for that, and we can show them exactly what they're up against.
So, you know, we moved a company out of Omaha, Nebraska called Carson Wealth, and we moved there for certain reasons, which we can go into later. But one of the things I didn't realize is their platform on their 401ks, most 401ks are charging based on the dollars in the plan. So if you have $1 million and now all of a sudden you have $2 million, either you put more in or it grew, you know, your fees almost doubled. And then if it goes to $3 million, it's gone up even more. So our platform is we basically can shop a plan not based on the amount of money in the plan. And by doing so, if you have money in a plan, like we just came across a plan, had about $3.5 million in it, all things being equal, we shopped it and was saving the owner about $20,000 a year.
Mm.
And if you look at, you know, that where that came from is a little fee based on how much money's in the plan. You know, they take a percentage of the money.
Oh, of the money that's already there?
That's already there.
Yeah, it's like an internal
without any transactions, just
goes up.
Well, it's in the fine print. I mean, it's being pulled out under the, we call it under the table. Uh-huh. But, you know, if you have $1 million plan and then a $2 million plan and a $3 million plan, you know, you can almost, that's almost going to double and then, you know.
Double again.
Yeah, so it behooves you to shop the plan and to get on a structure that isn't being charged on the assets. That's the key thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, in starting out a plan, I mean, they are, you know, they don't get the best pricing because we start with zero. all these companies say, well, if you have this much money, we'll give you better pricing, this much money, and the more you have, better pricing. But starting out with a zero plan is tougher because you don't get the best pricing. But as your assets grow, you could get better pricing. A lot of people just don't know that. So they will stay
at stay where they are.
Stay at a, you know, a more expensive startup plan when you can look at something else. So mm-hmm.
Or look at when that time is to maybe switch over that certain dollar amount where you hit that. So
yeah.
So if you are interested in a safe harbor 401k for your employees, which would be a new one, we're already in August, but October 1st, if you're interested in setting one up for 2022, October 1st is the deadline. I know it's still a couple, 2 or 3 months away, but it goes by quick. Plus you have paperwork to get done and notices to your employees. So
yeah, so there's two deadlines for October 1st. One's the Safe Harbor 401k. And basically what this means is the employees can put away money, and you can put up to $20,000 or $27,000 if you're over 50, and I think it's $21,000 if you're under 50. But then the employer would do a match. Now, a safe harbor means that the employer does a consistent match to everybody. And if you do that, they won't look at what the employer puts in. Because one of the complaints we get is, well, I did a 401k for my company, and I put money in, and they shot me a check back at the end of the year because basically I couldn't fund the full amount because my employees aren't putting in enough money. No. So if you do the safe harbor, that whole testing thing on the business owner doesn't happen. So it's a good tool to have the business owner be able to max out what they can put in. Right. And then every 401k has a profit sharing component to it. Even if you don't use it, it's there. So that's another thing to talk about. Mm-hmm. But the other one that's coming due October 1st is a simple IRA plan. And that every 401k involves a third-party administrator, which is called the person that does all the record-keeping and bookkeeping on it. No one in Yuma has that license, so you find people in Phoenix, San Diego, Tucson. A simple IRA plan account doesn't require that TPA service. Now, there's no loan provisions on a simple where there is on a 401k. And to me, that's a big thing for employees because I remember I bought my first house when I was with Dean Witter, and I borrowed against my 401k to put down the money, so that helped me out. But there's some deadlines coming up. So if you ever have an interest, what happens for business owners is we have you fill out this census report. And basically, employees, you can put John Doe, we don't care about the name, but, you know, when they were hired, data hire, what they make, and how many hours they work, roughly, if they're full-time or part-time. And then basically we gather that data and then owner's data, and we can come up with what it would cost to get a plan set up, mm-hmm. but more importantly, what the owner would benefit from. Because sometimes, like a lot of owners, we hear, well, I don't want to give money to my employees. So, okay, that's fine, but what you might not understand is you're giving money to Uncle Sam. So would you rather give your money to Uncle Sam or your employees? And then they say, oh, for sure, my employees.
Yeah, I like them more.
Yeah. but what they don't realize is sometimes you can do that, where the money that would have went to Uncle Sam could have been diverted to the employees, and the employees can participate.
Right.
And there's a big, you know, people put their head on their pillow at night, and there's been studies, but having a retirement plan at work, a lot of people think highly of it, even if it's not mm-hmm. the best plan or the best match, but they feel more comfortable. Yeah, that they got something for the future.
The break, you had a stat about how many people were looking for a job right now, which is kind of interesting. So I know that you know, retention and having some benefits for your employees goes a long way with 401k and health care.
Yeah, so, mm-hmm. And if you do a profit-sharing plan, which is you can it's a different than your 401k, but then the business owner can, you know, stake funds in it, and then it gets divvied out among the employees based on some ratios and how much they make and whatever. But they don't get fully vested for 6 years. So it's 0% the first year, which means if you put the money in, then it's 20% vested, 40, 60, 80, 100. So that's an item that if any of these people leave before 6 years, they don't keep all the money or some of the money. And that's been, and I've talked to people that said, well, I got a better offer over at this other job, but I'm not vested at my other company. So that's another little trigger to keep people, you know, where they're at with their employer. And the good thing about a profit sharing is you can fund it 1 year and don't fund it for the next 20 years. Like, nothing's mandatory. So if you have some decent years, Now, what we've seen business owners do is, you know, come up with metrics on, hey, if our office, if our, and I use your shop as an example, if we hit this number, then, you know, we'll fund 10 grand into the plan. Yeah. But if we hit this number, we'll fund 15, and this number, like that's our mother number, would be 20. So you get incentives, and these guys know, and they appreciate it. I mean, everyone wants cash in their hand.
Oh,
but
gosh.
Ultimately, they would know, hey, if we...
As long as they feel like they have control of it or something like that, yeah, that's a big incentive.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Well, and if you set up a 401k and there's profit-sharing money put in, it would be shown on their account.
Yeah.
So they would see it. And now, if they're not fully vested when they leave, they wouldn't get it all. But that's a good hook for business owners.
I like it.
Yeah. So
we got to take a break.
Hey, we'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 5:60 a.m.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis, Yuma Investment Group. One of the things that we're having a conversation about with clients that people should consider is, with the market being down, converting some of their IRA money to a Roth IRA. Anybody can do this. Bill Gates, Elon Musk, richest people in the world. So when you convert money from an IRA to a Roth, it is a taxable event, so we'll show on your taxes. And you pay income tax, but the benefit of it is now the money is in a Roth IRA, which is tax free forever, as long as you wait beyond 59 and a half or 5 years. So it doesn't seem like a big deal, but if you say you have a $1 in there, and say you get a 9% return, you double the money in 10 years, then you double again in 10 years. So that means in 20 years, your $1 is going to be $4. The difference would it come out tax free in a Roth? $4, or would you pay tax on the $4? So by converting in a down market, it will save you some money, and it's a better time to convert.
Mm-hmm. And also, Tom, with the Secure Act, we think having that Roth conversion discussion is more important than ever, because now with the Secure Act rules that came out, if you're an IRA beneficiary, non-spousal, then you have 10 years to take that money out. No longer can you stretch it out over your lifetime like it used to be before it came out. So let's say your father has already started taking RMDs and passes away, and you're the son or daughter and you get the IRA from him. You have 10 years to do it. But not only that, you have to also take the RMD out in that 10 years over that period. So that can be quite a tax it in such a shortened amount of time.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules and regs. They've made it more complicated. So highly recommend if you inherit an IRA account to talk to someone to make sure you're within the guidelines. But the beauty, I mean, most people, when they inherit money from their parents, are probably in their 50s because the parents are in their 75 or 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would say, yeah, we just keep it in there and it helps my retirement. Well, now with this 10-year provision, you know, they're going to have to pull it out. But the but if you think about it, it's almost like converting a Roth, an IRA to a Roth. So you have a $100,000 beneficiary IRA that you inherited, and you know, you either got to wait to the very end and pull the whole $100,000 out, or it's probably going to grow in 10 years, so it might be more. Or you can pull a little bit out every year, or you can skip a year. They don't care. They just want it out within 10 years. But if you pulled some out every year and you're going to be taxed on it, not a 10% penalty, just a tax, but then you fund a Roth IRA account, now you're getting into an account where it's going to grow tax-free. And also in a Roth IRA, they don't force you to withdraw the money. In an IRA account at age 72, and that got changed, it used to be 70 and a half, now at 72 years of age, they will force you to take out so much of your IRA money, whether you want it or not, and be taxed. And if you don't take it out, it's a 50% penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then the formula there, they take your December 31st statement count value, and they take your age. So as you get older and older, that, that percentage will go up. For example, I had a 94-year-old in my office a couple of weeks ago, and they were forcing her to take 13% of her IRA account. So it slowly goes up mm-hmm. with age. So
And that happened to my dad when he was in his 80s. One year he didn't take any out, and they took some money.
Yeah.
50, I don't remember. Yeah,
it's a 50% penalty. Yeah, big deal.
Yeah, it was.
I highly recommend if you're taking money out because you're over 72 and a half, get it set up so it happens every year. The taxes are withheld. It goes to your bank account. Because too many times than not, we see, you know, someone might have a health problem or something happens last minute and they don't withdraw it. I don't know the reasons why your dad didn't. But if it was set up automatically, it would have just went to his bank and that wouldn't have been a problem. So mm-hmm. don't have a year, you know, so I'll wait and sign a form to withdraw because that could bite you if you don't do it.
Yeah. And even this article was talking about even if you're older, it's something to definitely look at, a Roth conversion, especially if you're planning on giving them, passing the money on to, you know, your kids or somebody else, or it's in a trust even, because then you don't have to take the money out. But you got to be careful, of course, of Medicare Part, I think it's Part B and D, premiums possibly, and then also Social Security tax. But there is an argument for even if you're, you know, older, getting up there in years, that you could still convert and pay the taxes now.
So what you're saying, by converting to Roth, and that money's going to pass on to, let's just say, not the spouse, because if things pass on to the spouse, not a problem.
Right.
The funds can be rolled directly to the spouse's account, or it's not an issue. It's not the non-spouse. So if you convert to Roth and you pass it on to somebody, non-spouse, all that money is tax-free to them also.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good tool. I mean, if I was going to inherit $100,000 IRA or $100,000 Roth IRA, you definitely want to inherit the Roth. So,
does that make a difference that much?
It does, because it's tax free 100%.
Yeah, but if you inherit a certain amount, it's tax free if it's under a certain amount.
Not in retirement money. It's 100% taxable.
Oh, retirement money is 100% taxable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now the estate tax is like 11-12 million bucks.
Okay.
That's the tax that you don't have to worry about.
But the IRAs, if you inherit IRAs,
401k,
401k's,
403b, 457.
And you have to claim that on your taxes as a income. Withdrawal or income.
Yeah, income. Yeah.
I hate income.
So just be careful, but there's strategies you can use, especially in a down market,
I'm going to probably get about $20,000 from my dad's IRA next year. It'll take that long to get it through probate because that wasn't set up properly.
So here's the kicker. Make sure that they don't just pull the money out and give it to you. I've seen people on the other end. You know, you say, yeah, I want my dad's IRA, and they, okay, bang, you get a check in the mail, and then you realize, you know, dang, they just sent it to me, and now I'm taxed.
Right.
So make sure it stays in a beneficiary IRA in your name.
So I could roll it into another account.
You can roll it into a beneficiary IRA in your name.
So
when then you have 10 years to withdraw it. It has to be empty in 10 years.
So what I could do is just have the check sent right to another investment firm.
Yeah. Yeah, so say in our example, we do TD Ameritrade. So we'll do like TD Ameritrade, FBO for benefit of the client's name.
Okay.
And sometimes that check will even go to your house. But by doing so, it's not made out to you.
It's not made out to you.
Yeah, it's made out to TD. Then you can redeposit, or it might go directly to. Got depends it. On the forms. But yeah, because if you took the check out and said, you know, don't withhold taxes, you have 60 days to roll it back in. Mm-hmm. There's a rule where you pay no tax. But if you miss the 60 days, then it's taxable.
There's no questions if it just goes right into an account. That way they'll see it. It's right on the check. It's a
correct.
Yeah.
And not only that, but, you know, you could be. Get an accident in 60 days might happen quicker than you think if you're laid up somewhere
and you forget to do
it. Just be careful there. But within 10 years, they will force a withdrawal. I mean,
I should have talked Dad into the Roth, man.
You know, the Roth came about probably 15 years ago. I mean, I was in business. I mean, I've been doing this for 28 years. A lot of people don't know the new rules or the new type of products. I mean, they just, you know, stuck in the old ways. Mm-hmm. But
and you still hear people ask about, well, will the Roth be around? You know, are we going to still build
a Roth matter.
IRA? Well, it does. I mean, but
it's here now.
The Secure Act 2.0 that's going through right now. I think we mentioned it. It strengthens the Roth.
But if you've got it, you've got it.
Adding Roth to a simple Roth to a 401k with a match, but it's much friendlier with Roth.
If the government ever changes the rules where it affects you, whether tax-wise or any otherwise, they always grandfather in the people that are in.
Right.
So if they ever change the rules on the Roth, they would say, you're in it, you're okay. Going forward, no one does a Roth.
Maybe you just can't add to it, or it's frozen, whatever, but you're not going to take it away.
But the new bill going through there is encouraging Roth. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, so it is. Okay.
Instead of making it, cloudy, it's like, okay, we're going to start adding more opportunities for Roths, what they're doing with that new Secure Act. So,
yeah, wait till there's a lot of money in Roth IRAs, and then the government would come up with a new rule.
Well, they get their money up front, Tom. That's what they like.
But we can worry about
that.
You
do a conversion, you pay now. They like it when they get their tax dollars.
Wait till they see how much is in there. You know, they're going to try to figure out how to get to it. So,
yeah, well.
But the bottom line is you should have be put money away, even in bad markets. Hey, we also see this. Like, we have people that put away money so much a month, whether their 401k or their, you know, IRA account. And one of the questions we get asked a lot, which is kind of, is I think I'm going to stop putting it in because the market, we're not making money.
Yeah.
Like, that's a common theme, and maybe it sounds rational. But really, it should be the exact opposite, because when things are going down in prices, you're buying more shares, so it's a plus as long as the market turns back around.
Mm-hmm.
So don't fall into that trap of, I don't want to keep putting money into my 401k because it keeps going down. That's not the way to think about it. Think about it like you're buying more shares, and that's how you want to think about it.
I got one more stat here for you, Tom. See how smart you are. So the S&P 500 has had a decline of 15% or more in the first half of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like this year, it was 21%.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened 5 times is all in history. It's been 15% or more in the first half of the year as a decline.
Okay.
What years?
Wow.
You said a few of them earlier. 1932. Go for it.
1932.
Yeah.
Wow, you're psychic.
I would say 08 was one of them. 2000?
No, not in the first half.
No?
No, much earlier.
And how about the COVID, right?
Nope.
Well, you stumped me.
39, 40, 62, and 1970.
Okay.
Nothing, the last 50 years, it's never declined more than 15% in the first 6 months.
Yeah. Well, I was born in 71, so that's kind of before my time. But it's so amazing. I mean, that's kind of strange. I thought it would happen after 70, but...
Yeah. And then this is saying the index rebounded over the following 6 months in each of these instances. The average rebound was 23%.
Yeah, but it'd be also interesting to see which ones were in recession.
Or inflation.
The market, you know, would dip down and dip back up like a quick V, and that's happened quite a bit. But the recession, I think, is going to be more like a U shape. You know, it's going to stay at the bottom longer, so...
Did you want to mention the 401k one more time?
We have a seminar August 24th. It's from noon to 4. It's going to be out at the college next to the Schoening Center. And it's basically a class. We have a speaker coming down from Phoenix. is going to be talking about 401ks and retirement plans, and she audits 401ks, so she's going to tell you the pros and cons and pitfalls and how to get a better relationship so that you're not always being reactive with problems. Be proactive so you understand how to run them. So if anyone wants to go, it's for really business owners, CFOs, or maybe if there's someone in the office who really handles those type of accounts and they don't understand it completely, it'd give them some more insight. So that's August 24th. You can call the office at 329-1700. Everybody have a great weekend here. We're getting our time up. George, anything you want to say before this thing shuts down?
No, that's it. Have a great weekend, Yuma. Enjoy this little bit of coolness that we're starting to get. So have a great weekend. Thanks, yep. Russ. You have a great Thank weekend, you. Too.
Be All safe.
And not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.